A patient recovering from open-heart surgery breathes through a ventilator in the intensive care unit at Albany Medical Center in upstate New York. He's one of several patients still under anesthesia in the recovery room. Most are in stable but very serious condition. Nurses and doctors keep a close watch on the bedside monitors, which display their heartbeats and oxygen intake. It's a scene Vicki Crozier is all too familiar with. 18 years ago, her son Kyle died in a car accident, and for the first time, she was faced with the option of donating a loved one's organs.
When Kyle died, organ donation was for me a necessity. I needed a part of Kyle to go on living, and I didn't care how that happened. And the only thing that was feasible was that we donated his kidneys and his corneas. I really didn't care about recipients. I just needed a part of Kyle to go on.
Not long after, Crozier became a volunteer at the local organ donation center. Like most organ banks, they use employees to approach families and ask them to consider donation. It's a delicate situation because the victims' families must be approached soon after the loved one has died. As a person who lived through the experience herself, Crozier felt she had something to offer. With the help of the center's director, Frank Taft, she created the Mod Squad, a group of volunteer donor mothers who give support to families.
It's not that what we do is big or large. It's the little things. It's being able to hold her hand and say it's okay to cry. It's maybe going to get them coffee or tea, or maybe it's calling in family. Sometimes it's sharing our own experience. Because then the family knows, gee, if she lived through it, then I can do this.
Last year, almost 20,000 Americans received organs from donors, most of whom were young accident victims. The waiting list for these transplants is three times that number. When a patient is declared brain dead, the hospital is required by law to contact the local organ donation center. In most states, a transplant coordinator goes in to talk to the family alone. But only in Albany are volunteers who've been through the same experience brought in as well. That's attracted phone calls from directors of organ banks all over the country looking to create a similar program. While the Mod Squad is only a year old, Director Frank Taft believes the idea will soon spread.
Number one, it supports families at a very difficult time. Number two, it increases organ donation. So that when that family talks to somebody that's been there, they've walked in their shoes, it means so much more than a coordinator that has never experienced this. So we've, eight times now, we have used the Mod Squad, and eight times family have donated.
However, there are always concerns about pressuring the families too much and talking them into something they may regret later. Philip Cifarelli is a clinical professor of medicine at the University of California at Irvine who specializes in bioethics. He supports the concept of the Mod Squad, but he says some precautions should be taken.
When that person speaks with the potential family of donors, that conversation has to be very, very carefully scripted, and there must be no hint of any coercion, period. That's the long and the short of it.
Members of the Mod Squad say they're aware that this is a sensitive issue, and they are careful to never pressure families. Crozier adds the volunteers who join the squad undergo a rigorous training process to ensure that they're ready to deal with another's grief. She admits it's not easy. She says she gets butterflies in her stomach every time she gets a call. Crozier remembers one case that was especially difficult.
It was a little boy who had been fishing and jumped on his bike and didn't look when he pulled out and was hit by a car. Taken to the hospital, and things progressed and got worse, and he was declared brain dead. And it was maybe because it was one of the first ones, but it was so hard to see that father. I mean, the mother, maybe I identified because I was a mother, and I cried, and we cried together. But when it came time for him to go in and say goodbye to his son, the whole unit went quiet, and you could hear him. And it wasn't a cry. It was like a wail.
Crozier spent time with the family, and eventually they decided to donate their son's organs. 3 years later, she saw them again at a memorial service. She was relieved to see they had accepted their son's death and moved on, in large part, they said, because of the donation. Crozier and the other mothers also contact donor families during the holidays, often the toughest time, and reach out to them on the first anniversary of the child's death. They're little things, but Crozier says the gift these families gave was immeasurable, and it's something she doesn't want to forget. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Karen Kelly in Albany, New York.